Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Not all that glitters is gold. Half the story has never been told.
Because righteousness governs the world.
Come take a musical journey from the suburbs of Long Island to the ghettos of Kingston. A heartbreaking overdose. A disturbing discovery. The last chance to redeem a stolen legacy.
Broadcasting live and direct from the rolling red hills on the outskirts of Kingston, Jamaica. From a magical place at the intersection of words, sound, and power. The red light is on. Your dial is set. The frequency in tune to the Rootsland podcast. Stories that are music to your ears.
In the reggae anthem Get Up Stand Up, the Wailers sing, "Not all that glitters is gold. Half the story has never been told." My friend Brian always dreamed he could make the world a better place. Maybe by me telling his story, he still can.
Consequence Podcast Network presents Rootsland, Season 1, Reggae Junkie Joe.
Whole barrage of righteous people out there.
Because sometimes the story is the best song.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris, the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks so much for making your way here, checking out this episode and series. If you're not a subscriber, hit that subscribe button. I put three new interviews out every single week, new ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones, know what's happening in the music world, Spotify, iTunes, and Apple Podcast, Acast, YouTube. Anywhere you get your favorite podcast from, you can subscribe. And I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, I'm talking with one of my all-time favorite bands, Southern Culture, on the Skids. I've got Rick Miller on the line. We sat down over a Zoom call to discuss the band's new album, At Home with Southern Culture on the Skids. And Rick's going to reflect on how the pandemic changed their style of writing and recording, and also how it made its way into the lyrics, as well as his talents of taking those small moments in an otherwise mundane daily routine and making them into this grand, fleshed out, wacky, sometimes insane song. So we're going to get into their famous mix of psychedelic sounds with surf and rockabilly, where that came from, how campy horror movies influenced that sound, and being a part, speaking of horror movies, I first heard of them, of course, like a lot of people, with the song Camel Walk way back in the early 90s, but it was really the song Strangest Ways that was on the I Know What You Did Last Summer soundtrack that made me a really big fan, so he's going to tell me about that experiences as well. Now, on this record, At Home with Southern Culture on the Skids, they also do a cover of Dear Mr. Fantasy, so we're going to get the backstory on that, and actually how it took some inspiration from Spaceman 3, and we'll head back in time for the 30th anniversary of Too Much Pork for Just One Fork, and talk just a little bit about their release that they put out last year with the Kudzu Records Presents. So let's do this. It's Kyle Meredith with Southern Culture on the Skids.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's so good to talk to you. I've been a fan for so long, and I am so excited to be talking about a brand new record here.
Yeah, At Home with Southern Culture. It's my dog on the cover.
His name is Buck.
We named him after Buck Owens. We're fans.
The dog does not sing. I think I remember you saying online, but...
No, he doesn't sing.
Let's take a nice picture
there. Yeah. He's my biggest critic, though. He says a lot of my work's just plain rough. That's bad.
It's a good way to start. Yeah. I like that.
He was here for most of the recording, though, you know?
So he gets to. He gets to have the opinion on it.
He does.
Totally fine.
He does.
Yeah.
He's very cool.
I know it's the obvious title here, but is there a little callback to Screamin' Jay Hawkins with that At Home With, any chance?
No, I'm a fan of Screamin' Jay, but no. It was just kind of how where we ended up with the record. We made it mostly here in my living room. So we just thought, well, it's At Home With Southern Culture on the Skids, you know?
So recording it this way, writing it, I don't know if the songs were written during all of this, but knowing that, you know, it's at least a portion of this all happened within the pandemic, does that change the way you would actually typically even write the song? Is there differences in the record with that?
I think there is, because most of the songs I had to write myself with the guitar without the band, and we brought them in as I got it down. So it's almost a little more... I would not use this term with us, but a little more singer-songwriter in a way, right? As we could only be. But, and again, recording most of it here in my living room, basically where I'm standing, is we had to use, you know, we just couldn't be as loud. So we used a very small drum kit. We used very small amplifiers, much more acoustic guitar on this. I think the one thing that was really interesting was how much more we worked on vocals on this one, because I don't, maybe it's just the comfort of being in your own living room, but Mary and I had a great time singing and working on the melodies on these songs. It was just really fun.
You mentioned that singer-songwriter thing. You really get that at the very end of the record with Everything Grows in Her Garden. I mean, that's the most non-traditional Scott song, I think, on the record. Maybe that's why it's at the end.
Yeah, and I thought it was a good finishing song, you know, because it's optimistic. It ends on an upbeat note, I think, you know. It's time to get to work. Getting work in her garden, you know, where all things grow.
Does you write, you know, when you look at songs like Java or whatever, you know, there's a traditional way that you write, but is what's happening out there represented in some way on this record? Did you find that you were reflecting or wanted to reflect what was happening in the world within the songs?
I think that obviously Call Me was literally about the first few weeks of the pandemic. I mean, literally, I was sitting on my front porch trying to get online to get some unemployment, you know, and figure out what to do next. And oh, the sites just kept crashing, and then the bad news just kept flashing, you know. And I mean, I just wanted to talk to somebody, you know, and everything was cut off. So that song, obviously, you know, and the one line in there is true, man. I mean, it took me I had a connection at the local supermarket. That's the only way I could get bananas and garlic, right? And toilet paper. He would call me and let me know when the trucks were coming.
Oh, wow.
So those lines, they may sound silly, but they are all true. They are all true.
It's funny hearing what musicians have been able to find inspiration within this, because I was talking to some who were like, I didn't really write anything this year because what am I going to write about? I couldn't, but you found a way, I guess, to figure that out.
Well, I mean, I think little things make great songs. And if you can just find something that you do during the day that you can reflect on a bit, you know, and write a song about it. And when you're writing the lyrics, you never really know where it's going sometimes. And then once you hear it with the music, it defines it more. But then it kind of has to age a while. And then you go, oh my gosh, I see kind of what I was thinking about that. Or I see where that was going, right? And so no, I actually really enjoyed writing during the pandemic. One thing, we weren't on the road, and I could take much more time in thinking about the songs and the lyrics and the melodies and things like that. So that was nice, actually, to have that time to sit and just think about nothing but music. And we never really, I just figured if we had the time off, the best thing we could do was just work and write and play. And obviously we couldn't do it all together a lot of times, but, you know, we did, you know, and we got the records. We have actually, and we had another record out. I got it right here that this one is, there was six newer songs on this one. This was actually the first six songs were a reissue of a old analog box set that we did, but we did more covers and put them on that. And then we did all these originals, but no, I made a good use of my time. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you brought up the Kudzu Records Presents record there. I get that. The four, six new songs, four of them are covers. I got to tell you, Jesus Took My Burden sounds so good. Like, oh. I love the sound of that song.
That's Slim Whitman. That's like one of my guilty pleasures. I do like some Slim Whitman. You know what I mean? I mean, he can yodel, you know? I don't know. The Wayward Wind is a great song, too. And some of the songs are almost surreal. The way he talks about the I can only give you the Milky Way and things like that, and that Western kind of thing with the yodel and the reverb. I don't know. It's kind of surreal. There's a surreal edge to all that stuff, too. You just got to look for it. You know, you got to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, that psychedelic cowboy style, I think. I tend to think of that, which really isn't far off from the surf rock thing. You know, I've talked to Marty Stewart. He dabbles a lot in that kind of thing, taking the old rockabilly surf rock, but putting that psychedelic desert thing on there. I mean, what a great niche genre.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it relates, because surf music kind of bled into the psychedelic movement, right? Back in the 60s. So, you know, it's a kind of logical progression in a, you know, sort of a historical way. And I know that Marty Stewart is a music historian, you know, and that's the cool thing about playing rock music nowadays, is that you can draw on all these genres. You can pull it together. And if you're a music fan like I am, it's so much fun, right? Especially on covers records, where you can take and twist it around a little bit. We started doing that on Countrypolitan Favorites, and we kind of did it a bit on this one, not quite as much, but it's, you know, if you're a fan of music, it comes out, right? And a lot of it comes out just like that, where you're twisting genres, blending genres, you know? It's like I say, it's like a plate lunch, you know? It's like you got your meat, you got your potatoes, you got your peas, right? But they all blend together in the middle, and that's the best bite, right?
And you've made a great career out of that. I mean, some of the greatest songs, you know, especially in these sounds that we're talking about here. I want to tread some old ground, but specifically even... Like, I even hear it on the first single on this Run, Baby, Run. Your music works so well with the horror genre, the thriller genre, that type of, like, you know, what I write down here, you know, when I look back and I think of those old cartoon skeletons dancing, from the 30s and 40s, like, where did that sound come from for you? When did you start to figure out that you all were good at that?
Well, I love horror movies ever since. I mean, growing up, I remember like B movies, grade Z movies, right? At the drive-ins and at the local theaters, matinees and stuff as a kid. We've just always loved horror movies, and Mary loves horror movies too, right? So that whole, and just the idea of B movies. I love B movies because kind of like the auteur, the directors, you know, no budgets. They do it. It's a lot of it's DIY. They get to, you know, it's like, it's their vision, right? They don't have to answer to a lot of commercial, you know, they do have to answer to some commercial, but not as much as like major studio stuff. So I love watching in film noir. We've got that one song on there called Night Driver. That's a great like film noir kind of theme song. And Run Baby Run would be great. Like Mary, I always thinking it'd be great to get a green screen with Mary on a motorcycle, right? With like all, and find out all these cheesy monsters that you could throw behind her, like chasing her, you know what I mean? Stuff, you know, she'll outrun them all, you know.
It just works perfect for that stuff. And like I said, like most people, like a lot of people, I should say, you know, I first heard you guys with Camel way back in the day.
Yeah.
But it was Strangest Ways that really brought me in. And it was because, what was that on soundtrack? I know what you did
last summer. That's right.
Right. Which the song is much better than the movie. I'll point that out.
So. Well, you know, when we made that movie, the wildest thing was we made that. We shot that scene down in North Carolina, down at Southport, right by the coast. And I believe it was in like, it was March or April, might even be been later or earlier in the year, but it was so cold out. And they had dialogue, right? So, and they were supposed to be having a beach party. So they had these big cranes and they would say, okay, 30 seconds. And they'd have all these people come out and there'd be all these people shivering with their coats on. And they throw their coats off and they'd have bikinis and, you know, and all these buff guys, you know, and stuff. And they'd hit the music, right? And so we'd get about, you know, about 10 seconds of the beat. And of course, we were like that far away from our instruments because we couldn't make any noise. Nobody could, right? Because they were doing dialogue. And all of a sudden the music would come on, you grab the beat, the dancers would start dancing like this, you know, twisting in the sand, and then dead silence. And everybody's, you know, it was surreal. It was surreal, you know, but it was being fun. And a lot of those people in that movie went on to be pretty big stars, I think, you know.
Absolutely. And I should say, at the moment in that time and place, I liked the movie. It's more of an aging thing. Strangest Ways, I should say, is aged much better than that movie.
You
know,
but
I think everybody
you.
In the movie is doing fine. Yeah. There's a lot of those fun moments. Again, I want to bring up on this At Home With record too. You know, more of those fun moments on this record with At Home With. Like I did a double take when Polka Dot Dress came on because I went, that's eight piece box,
well,
right?
Yeah, the intro is really close, and it's an A. Yeah. I shouldn't be saying that, but it is. But you know that line in there about the polka dot gravy? I got that right from Hassel Atkins. You know,
Hassel Atkins.
Well, check him out. I took him out to eat one. He was like a guy, a one-man band from West Virginia. And he was down here and I took him out to eat to get some pork chops. And they wouldn't cook them the way he wanted them. So he asked for polka dot gravy, right? And the waitress just looks at him like, what are you talking about? You know, he was like, anyway, it was hilarious. He was a very cool guy.
Yeah, the idea of the callback anyway within a song, like I'm always a fan of that, especially, you know, in bands that have been around long enough. I mean, does that ever go through? Do you all take those opportunities often?
Oh, well, sure. Again, I think it comes back to the kind of the music historian that's in us all, right? And how, like, you can just kind of channel some of the feeling that you had about maybe that artist or that lyric, or just knowing the guy, because it's just a personal offhanded thing, right? Eating dinner someplace. And you know, he just talked about polka dot gravy, you know, and that's, you know, I don't know. It just pops in there and you go, oh, that rhymes, that'll work. But it gives you the right mental image, you know?
But again, you're rhyming and everything. Like when I think, I want to go back to another song we were talking about earlier with Don't Spill the Java. Like when I hear that song, I think how much of that was just improv on there? But you, like, like Sparks, the band Sparks, you're so good in the way that they take those little moments and make them these grand, more epic type of things, you know, within 3 minute pop structure.
Sure. No, like I say, really to be able to find inspiration in your daily routine or the things you do every day. Not only that, but, you know, lots of people do have routines. Everybody does, right? And everybody, that's something you can share with people also, right? Something as simple as making a cup of coffee and how you get out the door with it without spilling it on yourself, right? How you go to take that first sip way too soon and you burn your mouth, right? And, you know, it's just stuff like that. But people relate to it, you know, and it makes people smile.
So I got to ask then, how does Dear Mr. Fantasy fit into all of this?
Strangely, yeah. Well, I always really liked the song. And again, it going back to I don't think you should ever think about cover songs as a certain type of genre, or you can do it or you can't do it, right? If you like the song, you like the melody, you like the structure, whatever, try it, give it a shot. And I always thought like, wow, Dear Mr. Fantasy would sound so cool with a banjo, right? Because I always think of like, wow, what if there was some hillbilly traffic fans out there, you know what I mean? And how would they have done this in their garage, like back in, you know, 1971 or something, you know, up in Boone or, you know, and just having some fun with it that way, you know? And that's how it kind of started. And then Mary did a great vocal on it, and I don't know. And we psychedelicized it up a little bit. You know what I mean? We're big fans of like Spaceman 3 and I mean, Pan and stuff like that. We're fooling around with some of the modulation and some of the Moog synthesizer on Don't Spill the Java. Those flatulent sounds are incredible, right? You know, we just have fun with it. We really like the Moog, I should say. The Moog is really fun to play. And that's showing up on more and more of our recordings.
And it does. It gives that cool sound that
it adds a little something, you know, that little something.
I'll quickly turn the clocks back just for a season too, because this is a year, what, too much pork for just one fork. It turns 30 this year. This is the 30th anniversary of that one.
Yeah, that's right.
91. It's just coincidental. I've been thinking about that time in music and that time in pop culture and how the allowance to be weird was starting to come up from, you know, the underground into the mainstream. You know, we heard it in the music, we saw it on TV, you know, you get Ren and Stimpy and stuff like that a little bit after that or whatnot. Was that something that you were kind of seeing when you all were coming up? Like, when did you notice this was working, connecting with people outside of your own little space?
Well, it was funny because we were never really part of the Chapel Hill scene or sound, which was much more of kind of a REM vibe, indie vibe, and then Superchunk and things like that. We always kind of existed on the periphery. So we were kind of free to just like fool around with stuff. But yet we had that kind of indie rock, kind of periphery that kind of influenced, I think, maybe the way we looked at some of the more traditional forms of music that we were playing with. But I've just always loved blues and rockabilly and country music, and to find a way to blend all those together, but make it like different, right? It's like, it's one thing to be a revival band, but it's a different thing to be a revisionist band. And I always thought that that's kind of what we were. And I remember trying to find a way to make us stand out. I remember like just talking to Mary's mom. Mary's mom used to be in theater, right? Like local theater in Roanoke, Virginia, right? And she had all these wigs and all these theatrical things. And I said, oh, Mary, get some of your mom's wigs. Let's just wear them. Let's just have some fun. And like, I used to wear those old bib out overalls. But, you know, my grandpa was a dairy farmer. And that's what he wore to work every day. And I thought, well, you know, if he wore his bibs to work every day, damn, I'm going to wear my bibs to work every day. And you know what I mean? It just kind of evolved. And, you know, so it's kind of like who we are and what we, you know, it's a little bit dress up play and a little bit of who we are, and we just mixed it all together, and we really do try to be entertaining.
Did you know, I mean, could you tell that you all sounded like nothing else at the time though? Like,
yeah, and it wasn't anything that we really planned, you know. It was just that's how we could play. You know, we did the best we could, right? I remember when Dave came and joined, because he and Mary had been in, lived in Roanoke together, and they played in high school bands and doing frat shows in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech and stuff. And Dave came down to join the band, and he had a huge drum kit, you know, just, you know, big rock kind of drum kit. And we were like, nah, you got to get rid of that, Dave. And we were so mean to him. We were so mean to him. We made him throw it all away, put it all away in a big box. And then we gave him, he got a drain pan for changing your oil. And he put it on a snare stand and he drilled a hole in it and put a little splash symbol. And then we gave him a beer box to put it all in that he could also use as a kick drum. And that was it. And I had a little Silvertone amp in the case. And Mary actually did have a bass with a little, you know, some smaller PV thing. But, you know, we were driving around in a pickup truck all over the Southeast playing gigs, and we didn't have any road cases. We couldn't afford them. So we just, everything had to be small enough to fit into a couple garbage bags, right? We just tie it up.
Mother of invention, right? Right, that's exactly. The whole line right there.
And that's the story of our sound, I guess. It'll fit in a garbage bag.
It's a good title for something right there.
Yeah,
it'll fit in the garbage
bag. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad it worked out the way it did. I should point out right now, tentatively, it's on the books. You guys are actually going to be here in Louisville on October 14th, God willing, at Headliners again. We love seeing you over there.
Oh yeah.
What does the rest of the year look like for you? I mean,
well, the bulk of our touring that I know that will probably happen is in 2022, you know, and we have a pretty full schedule in 2022, going out to the Midwest, out to Colorado, California, I think the Northeast at some point. So, but it's still also, it's all just kind of tentative. We just keep rescheduling as needed, you know, and as things kind of open up or don't open up, you know, none of us have, my wife's a nurse, so I get the lowdown. You know, and she thinks that, you know, by later in the fall next year, that things should be picking up. You know, she can't say much about the fall, though. So that kind of, you know, we'll see. We'll just have to see.
We'll keep
our fingers crossed. But, you know, we love Louisville. I've said this before, but we always used to go to Louisville whenever we had 2 days off and we were within like 200 miles. Right. Because,
really?
Yes, because you guys, Bardstown Road. Used to be, I don't know if it's still anymore, but they had the best used record stores, thrift stores. They had Guitar Emporium, right? And then I think at the very end of Bardstown Road, when you crossed over the Beltline, I think we used to stay at a hotel down there called Airport Inn. It was like $29 a night, right? And it was across the street from that strip club, the Toy Tiger, back way back in the day. Anyway, so whenever we had 2 days off and we didn't have any money, that's where we headed, man. We headed to Louisville. And we'd fill that van up. We'd fill that van up with used records and stuff. And so we couldn't even fit in it. We'd have to call the UPS, send it all back to North Carolina.
The Tiger's gone. There are now two Thornton gas stations in its place. Most of the record stores are still here, unfortunately, except for Ear Ecstasy. But John Timmons, who owned Ear Ecstasy, is now a DJ for us at WFBK. Oh. So he's still in the music community. But that's funny. That's fun to hear. Anyway, I'm glad you all were able to use this time wisely. I mean, to get basically two albums out of this, including the Kudzu Records Presents. It's so fun what you all do. And thank you so much for continuing to do it.
Oh, well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Really do.
Yeah, Rick, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks for taking the time, man. Hopefully we'll see you sooner than later.
Yes, sir. You take care.
My thanks to Rick Miller, Southern Culture on the Skids. The new album is called At Home with Southern Culture on the Skids, as well as last year's Kudzu Records Presents. Check them both out. So thanks to you for checking out this episode. Before you get out, please do subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcast, Acast, Podchaser, YouTube for the video version of this, or wherever you get podcasts from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. It's a whole lot of fun. Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org.
www.consequenceofsound.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all three of them at Kyle Meredith. I'm over on TikTok at KyleMeredith81. Hope you like and follow along, and make sure to say hi when you do. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Yeah, it's been a hard year for heaters and air conditioners, man.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.